Lights, camera, action!
Oh, I was breathing.
Oh, I thought you were trying to remember.
No, I was breathing in. I was going to just scream it as loud as I possibly
could.
Yeah. Welcome to the Month Movies Podcast for the month of October 2018.
Horror movie
Spoopy
month.
Spoopy month. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this year I decided to try to watch round two of the scariest movies of all time that I haven't seen yet.
And I am failing miserably at trying to watch all my 3D movies.
Because
I haven't watched any
that
often.
And then any other movie we saw during that month. Yeah, so
I did watch one of my 3D movies this month.
So this month,
I was trying to catch up and then I fell down again.
I tried watching only horror movies this month because it was October.
That didn't happen for me. The first movie, of course, I watched this month was not a horror movie.
Well, the one I did watch that wasn't a horror movie was one that was actually at least kind of, like, unsettling.
I watched Table 19.
What are you doing? What is this?
This is cat toys.
Why are you playing the cat toys?
Because it was stuck.
Oh.
I watched Table 19.
Is that the movie?
That's the movie.
All right.
And it is a movie about a wedding, and Table 19 is the table where they put people they don't know where to put.
Is this an Anna Kendrick movie?
It is Anna Kendrick.
I knew it.
It's also
the movie I saw. I'm just kidding. That's all you need to know. It's Anna Kendrick. I'm just kidding.
Table 19. Also starred Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, Jesus.
The top build in there. But I like to say it's a Stephen Merchant movie.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's Anna Kendrick, Lisa Kudrow, Craig Robinson, the guy from The Office, and the black guy from The Office.
Oh, Craig. Oh, yeah, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, Craig Robinson.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, Stephen Merchant. Those are, like, the main characters that I watched it for. But anyway, it's a movie about this wedding, and the Table 19 is where they put the people they don't know where they belong. So it's just a hodgepodge of people sitting at a table trying to figure out how each of them knows the bride and groom. And then you find out that Anna Kendrick planned the wedding. But she's sitting at this table because her ex-boyfriend was friends with the bride and groom and they didn't want her to come.
Oh.
So at the last minute, they decided, yeah, she can come. And then they had to show her at this table. And then the other ones, there was, like, this old lady who was her nanny, like, the bride's nanny. And then there was people they worked with and just a bunch of random people.
Randos.
But it's one of those fun movies where, hey, all these people have nothing in common, and then they get to love each other. And
it's the Breakfast Club of weddings.
Yeah, it's the Breakfast Club of weddings, but it's not as good as Breakfast Club. It was decent. There wasn't anything that set this movie apart from any other movie.
I assumed it was going to be like a movie where all the single people sat, and then it turns into like a love story.
No, because Ronald Dobson, Craig Robinson, and Lisa Kudrow are husband and wife.
Okay,
but they own a restaurant or a store or something. I don't remember. It's been a while.
I mean, a store is a restaurant. A restaurant is a store of sorts,
right? And you can shoplift before you eat. I don't know. I gave Table 19 a 7.
That's not, neither of those, they're both prime numbers.
I know. I was like, I was going to do a math joke, but it doesn't work, 19 and 7.
Prime rib for the wedding, please.
It's not even half.
Nailed it.
So yeah, that was the first movie I watched, because it was the only non-horror movie, so let's get it out of the way.
Well, of all the movies you mentioned so far, I've seen none of them. See the segue I'm going with?
Master of None is a TV show. That doesn't count.
No. I saw...
Oh, The Nun! I was thinking as in zero, because you used it as...
That's what a pun. That's what the puns are. They can spell differently. I saw the movie The Nun.
Based on the Conjuring series. Conjuring 3 or whatever it was.
Two. All right. I don't know. I haven't seen Conjuring 1 in a long time.
I only seen Conjuring 1.
I think last month.
And I thought it was boring.
I think September I reviewed Conjuring 2 and it wasn't good. And then I watched The Nun, which I skipped the Annabelle movies. I forgot that they existed.
I thought you said you saw those.
Shh, that's the future.
Oh, shit.
Spoiler alert for episode December. Spoiler alert that we're recording in December.
I was going to say, this is not...
I was trying to pretend it was like the 1st of November, and now it's all out the window. It's almost Christmas. Doesn't matter. By the time they fucking listen to this, it'll be like 4th of July.
By the time you post it.
Yeah. I mean, Craig still gets excited. I just posted like something from April. He's like, he sent me like 10 texts, like, "Hey, that movie you talked about. Oh, this.
Yeah, that one that was a good movie."
No, actually, I did like it. And
no, but he was telling me about some movies. Like, yeah, that one movie you didn't like, that surprised me. Which one? And then I like listed ones from the last 5 episodes, yeah. And it was none of those. So it must have been from like last year. Or something.
Also, Craig takes a little while to listen sometimes.
Yeah,
but no, the one I
shouldn't talk. I'm listening to podcasts from like 10 years.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah. But no, I was talking about Dig Two Graves from a couple months back, and he was saying that like the short that inspired that movie was filmed that was they played it at Wildwood Film Festival.
Oh, okay.
And then also when they showed it, I guess I could pull up the text, but I'm gonna just freeform it. And he said that there was a like they actually had a live like orchestra or live band that played the soundtrack to it and stuff like that, and it was really cool, but. A couple people. Apparently, that was like shot, or I don't know if it was shot, but like people from like down in like Wisconsin. It's they have a couple people in Wisconsin have an actual part in that movie and stuff, and like hand in creating it. But yeah, the first movie I watched is The Nun.
Did you see The Conjuring 2? Yeah.
Yeah, that was the British one, and then he's like, "I'm Elvis." Whoa.
So, oh yeah, I remember that in the trailer. Okay, so before you get too far into it, so this is a spinoff of the second one. Annabelle is a spinoff of the first one, and there's two Annabelles that spin off the first one. Out of Conjuring 1 and 2, and the Nun's the best one, probably. And that's like.
Here's the
thing. Or is it like horses and apples?
Here, let me explain the movie first, and then I'll explain why this isn't a good movie.
Okay.
So, so The Nun, it's about. I'm pretty fucking bored of this.
It's a nun.
It's okay.
It's like she's a babysitter or something.
Yeah, it takes place like. I don't know what time.
I don't know. I didn't see the movie.
The movie takes place. Early time.
1600s.
They're in a castle. And it's way out in the fucking nowhere, and the guy takes a horse to get there. I'm like, it feels like it's like the 1800s, but I know that can't be possible. But anyways, so this like nun kills herself, and they go, "Oh no, we need to fit like the nun headquarters."
Or the whatever. Nun hotel, the no. Habit.
No, the nun headquarters or whatever. Like they're like, "Hey, we need to put you on this mission
because Habit the outfit."
Habit's the outfit, I believe.
Okay,
I have no idea. I'm not a religious guy.
Keep talking.
But they're like, "Hey, this nun died. You need to go fucking fix this shit up. Find out what happened." So this girl who's like not even a nun yet is actually
a convent.
You know Vera Farmiga. She is like on Bates Motel. She's
Norma she's Bates.
But
she's the mama.
But she's also
she's in the Conjuring.
Yeah, she's in both Conjuring movies. Her daughter is the little girl that plays the nun
in
to
real
be.
Life.
Her daughter in real life, yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Her, whatever her name is.
I didn't think they had kids
No, the one from Final Girls and stuff whatever. Some show. But, her character is like a nun-to-be, but she hasn't taken the oath yet, which apparently is a big deal because everyone's like, "You haven't taken the oath yet?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm still wearing my white habit." So they go, her and this one guy who's like a priest of some sort. I can't remember exactly.
Like a bishop or archduke or something.
They're like, "We need to go check this out." And then it turns out you find out that many years ago there was this
nun
who was evil, and they fucking like did this spell or prayer, same thing really, to like lock her in the basin of the thing, but something happened where she started getting loose again, and they basically had to try to stop her from being evil.
Not to interrupt.
Things.
American Horror Story is what she's
saying. Yeah, that's it.
Things being evil.
The movie was basically just... like, okay, so I know the Conjuring movies, they're probably not going to do an Amityville Horror one, even though it's like...
They probably will.
But if they... Here's the thing. Here, let me explain why. Because in the fucking very beginning of the goddamn first movie, or the end of the first movie, they're like, oh, hold on, some people in New York have a problem in Amityville, that, like, oh, like, oh, it's gonna lead to Amityville. And then the beginning of the second one, it's like them in the Amityville house for like the fucking like first like 2 minutes, and that's when she first encounters the nun, and then the nun is part of the goddamn she's like fucking part of the second movie, sort of. Then you get to find out her roots, like this prequel of the that nun character. But it was the most fucking generic story that
that's what most of the Conjuring movies are.
But I can't. But the nice thing is, it didn't have like the actor's all right. He's been like the main actor from from the Conjuring movies. He was like in Watchmen and Hard Candy and like fucking
all these other things. That was his character's name, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
He's in the new Aquaman movie.
He's a decent actor, but his character is just a fucking.
So those two piece characters are in this movie.
No, they're not. That's the good thing about The Nun.
But why does it list him as cast?
Because at the very beginning of one of the movies, they showed this video tape, and this might be a spoiler for some people, but they show a videotape, and that's kind of, like, why you find out at the very, they do a thing in these movies, where they have the movie, and then at the very end, like, you want to know how this is connected to the whole story? Remember back in the first movie when they had this doll on the wall? It's that doll, motherfuckers.
They are trying to do a whole freaking universe.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, they showed a video, like, maybe the beginning of the first one, and it turns out...
Amityville's gonna be there.
And it was, like, a character that, like, got possessed or whatever. That character is in this movie.
Okay.
And that's part of, like, how it could... Like, so at the very end, it's, like, basically they just recycled the clip from the fucking other movie.
They probably got, like, producer credits just for creating these characters.
Yeah. They're based on real people, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there was this article I was reading that the Amityville stuff, like, the reason they're not doing an Amityville movie is because it's tied up in the courts.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, you're copying our books and stuff. And they're like, this is real. We're basing it on the real-life events. You don't own the rights to the real life. So they were going to go to court to prove that this was, like, this actually happened.
Oh, boy.
Because they sold the books as based on a true story.
Yeah.
Right? This is based on a true story. But if you want the rights to it, it has to be fake then.
Yeah.
So they have to prove that this is real in order to keep the rights or something. I don't know. It was freaking bizarre. I think they settled out of court or something like that, but how amazing would that have been to say, hey, let's try to go to court to prove this that ghosts are real.
This is the evidence. You can see the ghost pig in this.
He's like, ghosts are real, and we're going to prove it in court.
That's amazing. That's fucking great. But yeah, like the fact
something
that
like
those
that.
Two characters are so sorry, the two characters from that are like so they're so two dimensional and stuff that they didn't have those characters in the movie, and I was so happy. But then they had the guy who was like leading them up there. He's the comedic character of the movie, and it was just like, yeah, we get it. You're a handsome man who lives by himself, and you're hitting on some fucking nun was girl. That
the father guy?
No, it's like it's. I think he's like. He might be Hispanic or French or something. Okay. I don't know. He had some sort of accent that I couldn't place. He's probably the third guy, I think.
Yeah, this looks like a horrible picture.
Yeah, well, it was speaking of horrible pictures, back to the movie.
So a nun died, and that's the premise of the movie?
I don't fucking remember the exact reasoning for like why she was all spooky evil, but...
She's like, you took my
baby. In this case, that's mama.
If she took a baby, then she can't be a nun. That means she had a kid. No. That means she had sex.
I don't remember what it was.
And nuns are married to God.
But also, this really irks me a lot because in order for this is kind of spoil the movie, but if you haven't seen The Nun yet and you wanted us to...
Oh, so should. In order for it to make sense with the Conjuring movies?
Sort of. No, I was going to mention that part. But no, the part that bothers me the most is like... So, this evil group tried summoning this demon or whatever, and I think it infected this nun lady or whatever. I don't remember exactly what it was. But for her to get free again, she has to be summoned and go into a body. At one point, like, you find out a bunch of the nuns that are in the movie were just a figment of the girl's imagination, because the ghost was making her think that there were nuns everywhere.
So there's only one real one, the rest were, like...
Yeah, whatever.
Illusions or something.
But then...
I'm doing this like that
makes sense. They trick the girl, like, at one point, like, this unforeseen hand, like, just scratches a pentagram into her back, and then she walks into this room where there's a pentagram on the ground with a bunch of candles lit, and she wanders into it, like, what's this? And then that's what summons the fucking demon. I'm like, no, you can't do that.
They just accidentally summon?
You know, yeah, the demons can't summon themselves, you fucking assholes. I understand it's not a real movie, but if you go this long in the lore of, like, summoning demons and stuff, they need someone to summon them because they can't do it themselves.
Yeah,
and
so
they do it, like, not even through her, like, they possess her and then make her do it. They just, like, go, hey, come here. Gotcha, you motherfucker. Ha, I lit all the candles on you, you stupid bitch. I gave it a 5. When I review the Annabelle movies in December episode, all of the movies are the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how can we make it seem like we'll have a theme, but then like we won't work that in until like maybe that last 90% of the movie. So you can go, oh, this place we're in is haunted. These things are moving around. Who's moving this? I don't know. The doll's moving it. I don't know. The nun is moving it. I don't know. The tree lady is doing it. I don't know.
Blair Witch?
The couch or the fucking haunted chair. Who's doing this? What's happening? It doesn't fucking matter what kind of demon or the ghost or whatever it is.
They just like
all the same shit keeps happening.
Yeah. When do you get?
It just depends on how many fucking characters are in the movie.
This time it's a doll. This time it's a nun. This time it's just a normal person.
No, honestly, yeah. The doll thing is like. The doll had nothing to fucking do with the movie, really. Like, it was there, but, like, it didn't, like, it wasn't, like...
Watched The Nun.
You could tell that the doll was there, and there was a separate entity doing the things, and just, like, putting the doll in the room, and then, like, oh, something grabbed me by the window, but the doll's way over the fuck over there. You knew it wasn't the doll.
So it's not, like, Chucky.
No. It's just a ghost liked that doll.
And since I said Chucky... I watched The Cult of Chucky. Speaking of doll, even though...
Oh! I get the transition.
So Cult of Chucky is the newest Chucky Child's Play movie. Like, after a certain point, they just start calling them Chucky movies.
Probably because one company has, like, the rights for the name Child's Play, and then they go, oh, no, we don't...
And Child's Play is kind of... No offense, it's kind of a dumb name.
Well, it's like it's a play on like, oh, it's his kid's evil. It's just Child's Play.
I'm trying to remember.
But then it's not the kid.
What the fuck?
Get up there, cat.
So watch Cult of Chucky. Cult of Chucky. I was trying to figure out what the one before it was. Before it.
That was the Cult of Chucky.
Curse of Chucky. Oh. So the Curse of Chucky...
Was the Sane Asylum one, right?
Oh, shit. No, this is the Sane Asylum.
Uh-oh. Oh, the other one was it felt like a reboot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out Curse. Yeah. Curse of Chucky I watched December 2015. So Cult of Chucky is a sequel to that movie. I reviewed Curse of Chucky on the December 2015 podcast, where the movie is like a reboot, but it's not. And the reason why is it feels a lot like a new series. Like, they feel different than the other Chuckies. Like, before it was The Seed of Chucky and The Bride of Chucky and stuff like that. And those were just humor. Like, they just took humor and went with that. these two newer ones are more like an indie horror movie. So they're, in my opinion, they're a little better. They're more serious. I mean, they're bloodier and stuff, which doesn't mean it's better.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this kind of spoils the Curse of Chucky a little bit, but I'm going to, because you got to know how you got to this point.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the beginning, in the Curse of Chucky, the doll ends up killing basically everybody in the house, except this lady in a wheelchair. And she ends up sending the doll, or the doll sends himself to the kid from the first Child's Play, who's an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets arrested for murdering all the people in the house. And she's like, no, this doll did it. And they're like, oh, she's crazy. So this movie takes place while she's been in jail. And they said, okay, you're doing well in jail. You haven't acted up, whatever. We're going to send you the psychiatric unit so we can fix you of the freaking...
Fix you
from this whole doll is real thing. So she's in group talking about how she killed all these people because she thought this doll was evil and blah, 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 blah. And one of the guys is believing her. She's like, yeah, the doll probably was evil. I saw the story. There's that guy who robbed a toy store and he said he put himself in this doll and stuff. And they're referring to all the other Child's Play movies.
That was the first movie.
Yep. And at the same time, then it cuts to the kid as an adult fucking torturing the shit out of the doll. Like, just burning it. And doing all this stuff to it because it made his life a living hell.
I don't know why when you said he sends it, so she sent it to him. I assumed you meant, like, he sent the spirit, not like mailed it to him.
Oh no, she sent the doll to him, or he sent the doll to him, or the bride did. I don't remember exactly.
The doll was sent.
Either way, the doll was physically sent snail mail to kill the kid and or take his body or whatever, but he was smarter than that and stopped him and just torturing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he's torturing this doll, and at the same time, people start getting like attacked and murdered by a Chucky doll that's there, or good guy doll that's at the insane asylum. You're like, wait a second, this isn't making any sense. Why did this happen? Like, chronologically, maybe this happened before or whatever, and it's going to tie together, which eventually tells you what's happening, but I'm not going to go into that. But I don't know. It was a very interesting movie inside the insane asylum and going, okay, who's crazy, who's not crazy? Especially when someone says, yeah, this doll killed these people. And everyone's like, no, they didn't. And the kid... I don't even know. I guess I could look up his name. But anyway, he's like, no, the doll, the same doll that killed my babysitter or whatever it was in the first one, threw out the window.
Okay.
And they're like, so he's like trying to get to her and try to stop Chucky with her help and things like that. I thought it was very good. I thought it was even better than The Curse of Chucky.
Okay.
Because The Curse of Chucky felt like it was a reboot. And this one felt like an actual like sequel. I gave it, I don't know if I said table, yeah, I did, table 1917, or 7, Cult Chucky gave 7.5, so I thought it was pretty good. It's definitely worth a watch if you like a more gory, indie-type horror movie. It's not as funny.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it is funny at all, but, yeah.
All right. The next movie I watched was actually on my list. Someone recommended it to me. It's a newer film called The Eyes of My Mother.
Oh.
Now, I watched this movie one night, and then the next movie I watched that same night, and they're probably 2 decades apart, and they're almost the same movie.
Oh, Jesus. So you're going to review them both at the
same
time?
Yeah, might as well. So The Eyes of My Mother, it's a black and white movie, which works really well for it, but it's so fucking weird. This girl... get ready to watch some cow eyeballs being dissected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they actually dissect cow eyeballs. It's great. But this girl is, like, she's growing up. She's a little girl in the beginning part of the movie. And her... Like, she's, like, just by her... Like, they live, like, way out in the country. And...
poster looks like Black Dahlia.
Yeah. It's a neat movie. It's just a little weird. But so like the girl's hanging out in her front port, her front yard, like playing, and listen, this guy just walks up and he's like, "Hey, what you doing? Like, "Oh yeah." He's like, and then the mother sees, like, she's like, "Whoa, this weird guy. We have no idea because he lives out in the country." She's like, "Oh," he comes out. He's like, "Hey, is your husband home?" She's like, "No. When is he done with work?" Anytime now. "Oh, okay."
So this is the eyes of your mother?
Yeah, he's like, "Look, can I use your phone?" She's like, "No." He's like, "I just need to use my phone. My car broke down," or whatever, and so that. And then eventually he gets them up to the house, and he's like, "I need to use your bathroom." And then she's like, he's like, "I thought you said your husband's gonna be home soon." He's like, it's super fucking creepy. This guy, I'm like, you know, he's not a good guy. And then, eventually the father comes home, and like, he comes in and the girl's like, just like sitting in the kitchen waiting. He's like, where's your mother? And she's like, kind of like points to the bathroom, and the shot, like the guy's opening the door, and you just see that dude like just fucking like just pounding away, like just beating the shit out of the mother. He kills the mother, and then the father like just gets so pissed off, he takes the guy and locks him up in his barn. Then years pass, and this girl who's growing up just alone with her father, who's like this demented guy, because he's like, "Oh, I'm not gonna go to the authorities. I'm gonna just lock this dude up in my barn and beat the shit out of him once in a while." So she's a little not all there. Her father passes away. And then, so then it's like basically her just living this fucked up life where she watched her mom basically get murdered, that her dad chained the assailant up in the barn, who's still out there, still alive. And she's like a fucking adult now. And her dad passes away. So now she's like just trying to, and she has this weird life of, all these bad things I've experienced are normal, so she's not normal. And I don't know, there's some kind of, like, it's disturbing in, like, the realistic sense, like, oh, fuck, this, I don't feel good for anybody that is involved in any of these situations that she gets into. It's a cool movie, though. If you like horror movies and just, like, being uncomfortable, I would check it out. I gave it a 7.5. The next movie I watched, I think it was like from 2017 or something like that.
This one is from 2016.
16, okay. The next one I watched was May. Now, this is like from like 2002, 2003.
May?
May. It's like the cover's like this girl who's like really, like really pale. Yeah. This movie, surprisingly, has Anna Faris in it because it's the early 2000s. She's high on her money from Scary Movie and... So this movie is about this girl who grows up with her mother teaching her like all these things about also like kind of like, hey, like she's this girl's fascinated with like dissecting and cutting things open and animals and some of that. So she's like works at a veterinarian as like a
God, she's got a creepy face.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad with that because one of her eyes is like really weird and lazy, so she wears glasses that kind of corrects it. But at the very beginning, her mother is like pretty abusive to her and like doesn't give her a lot of attention. And then for her birthday, she gives her a doll, and she's like, "Oh yeah, a doll." It's like, "No, you can't open it. You can't play with this doll. You can only look at it." And she's like, "Oh, okay." But then,
well, that's kind of a spoiler of pictures then.
Which part?
I don't know.
No, oh yeah, no. So she has a doll, and like she kind of talks to the doll and stuff like that every once in a while because her parents are both dead at this point. But she's super socially awkward, and but she likes cutting things open and sewing them and stuff because her mom was a seamstress. She would, like, so she kind of taught her how to sew. Then she starts slowly, like, seeing parts of people's bodies because she's, like, now sexually awakened, that she's like, "Oh, these are nice legs. You have nice hands. You have nice this." So then she tries... She, like... This is later on, much later on in the movie, but the horror aspect of it is that she's trying to... She starts falling in love with this guy that she just sees at a restaurant, Jerry Sisto's character. But she, like, starts killing people and taking their bodies, trying to make the perfect person. And sewing it together. It felt very 2000. That kind of pulled me away from it a little bit because it was so, like, it was just, it felt so, like, dated. I don't know. And plus, like I said, I just watched it, like, and it, the plots weren't the same, but the overall theme was like, hey, this girl who grew up in this fucked up life, her mother had this huge effect on her. She's, like, into dead bodies and cutting things up. And then she's, like, trying to live on her own life and try to have a romantic relationship. Like, that, those were both the movies, you know? But this one, I don't know. I didn't care for it too much. It was all right. I gave it a 6. Oh, I also, this movie was also on my list as well. So, that was May.
Okay. So, I watched... Okay, so Hulu started doing this... They call it Made for TV.
Started this bullshit.
Made for TV movies kind of thing, but it's a streaming service. And the series called Into the Dark. So it's kind of like the Masters of Horror type thing that whatever put out, what channel?
Cinemax.
Cinemax did. But this is on Hulu. It's called Into the Dark. So they release a movie every month, and it has to do with that month. So this month is Halloween.
Woo!
So the first movie is about Halloween. And it's called The Body.
Just like the Stephen King story!
Not anything like it, except that there's a dead body.
And the name!
So, this takes place on Halloween, and it's this hired killer, assassin type thing. So his job was to go and kill this person, and then dispose of the body.
And he fucked up.
And apparently... The person he kills is very famous. Like, really, really famous. So famous, they don't tell you in the movie who it is.
Oh.
but everybody knows. They're like, oh, that person's missing.
Draw your own conclusions, folks.
But the guy kills the body. He wraps, or kills the person, wraps up the body in, like, tarps or, not tarps, like almost like saran wrap kind of thing. Maybe it's a shower curtain or something. I don't know. But it's tight, wrapped really tight.
Okay.
It's like kill floor, you know. Like
kill floors.
Kill floors, yeah.
Kill floor material. Yeah,
you know, like the stuff that Dexter does.
Oh, like drop cloths. Yeah. Like drop.
So it's, you can kind of see that there's a body there. It's like, it's not like it's covering anything. But so he wraps it all up, and he's just dragging it. And his car is like... getting towed and stuff, and he's like, oh, now I gotta somehow get this body somewhere. So he's like walking through town, and everybody's going from Halloween party to Halloween party, and they're like, oh, dude, your costume's awesome. He's like, yeah. Like, wow, that body looks so realistic. And they're like kicking it and stuff, and they're like, wow, it feels just like a real body. And he's like, uh-huh. And then they're like taking pictures with him and stuff, and they're like, hey, let's go to a party. And he's like, no, I really gotta be somewhere. And they're like, oh, come on. And he's like, it's kind of humorous.
Like a dark comedy.
It is a very dark comedy. And then he meets with this group of people, and then, spoiler alert, later on, they start realizing, wait a second, that was a real dead body. So then they try to get the cops, and all this stuff, craziness starts happening. I wasn't a huge fan of the ending of the movie.
Aliens?
Which I'm not going to spoil for you.
The aliens.
But I thought it was unique. The Into the Dark series is Blumhouse, which comes up with pretty unique stuff or very repetitive stuff, but they do a unique twist to it.
I typed The Body, and the first thing that showed up was Jamie Lee Curtis.
You gotta type in Into the Dark, because on IMDb, they count it as a TV series.
And Stand By Me was the second one, which makes sense.
Right. They count it a TV series on IMDb. So yeah, it's a Blumhouse, so if you've seen The Purge or Happy Death Day and stuff like that, it's very they're very niche horror movies right now. Is that the right word?
I don't know. I never knew how to pronounce that word. It was decent.
I gave it a 7.
Sorry, I just saw Sasha Grey is in one of the episodes as a party DJ.
Yeah, it's probably that one.
She's an adult actress, folks. She quit to become an actress, and she is marked as party DJ.
It's this one, because there's no DJ in the other ones. Oops, spoiler alert.
Oh, God, now I don't want to watch these DJ movies.
No, I'm just saying, like, that means I watched the other ones. This is the first one.
She was in Saints Row, that's right.
So, I gave it a 7.
Next movie I watched, was, an old movie. Old. They might have been, like, one of the oldest ones on my thing. Eh, that's not true. It's called The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Now, this movie, I heard it was on numerous 1920 movies. Maybe the oldest movies I watched on this list. Now, it starts with these two guys, like, just kind of chatting, like, hey, you want to know this weird thing that happened to me? Blah, blah, blah. And he starts talking about how, like, he went to this carnival.
Of souls.
And there's this hypnotist there named Dr. Caligari. And he had, oh boy, I can't think of the word, but it's someone that, like, that, a seasare? It's someone that, like, that, like, walk, they, like, I can't remember, they walk around and, like, sleepwalk and, like, do a lot of shit in their sleep. But Dr. Caligari is like, check this out. And you're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. That's neat. But then, while he's in town at the carnival, people start dying. And they're getting murdered and stuff. And they're like, who could be doing this? We think it's you, Dr. Caligari. He's like, nope, kid, it's not me. It's also kind of a short movie. I think it's like an hour.
Well, the type of person... Never heard of this phrase before. I don't even know if I can pronounce it right.
Seriously?
Somnambulist?
Yeah, somnambulist, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to give too much of the movie away because it's... I don't want to say it's lacking in story, but it's...
I mean, it's 1920.
Yeah, but it has a story, but also it's like it's not as in-depth as movies nowadays. But my favorite thing about the movie, though, was because years ago, people that made plays, and they had a lot of stage shows and stuff, and they would paint all these backgrounds and all this other stuff. And you go, oh, look, that wood that's painted to look like you're in a park, and look that wood mm-hmm. that's painted to look like you're in a tent.
Yeah.
That's what kind of backgrounds and backdrops they had in this movie.
I love it.
It was awesome. It was, like, the best part of the movie. It was, like, they're in a tent, but then there's, like, these big wooden... Like, things painted to look not rafters, but, like, just tent flaps and stuff. I'm like, this background is fucking awesome. Because they had, like, big, like thick lines and stuff like that. Yeah, it was, like, a play. But yeah, it was a... yeah, just look at this. It's like, oh, that's the background. That's not a wall or a door. But it's painted to look like it is. And then look at this. The doorway in the background and stuff. It's just, like... It was just... Yeah. But,
I was trying to think
of the words. It's a silent film, so you have to read, which isn't a horrible thing, and the music is kind of cool and stuff. But, no, it wasn't amazing, but obviously we've had almost 100 years of horror movies since this one was made. But it's a pretty good, like, defining movie for, like, the horror genre. So I gave it a 7, and that was on, like, my list. That was quite a few lists of horror movies to watch. So yeah, it's cool. I liked it. And also it's so weird when you watch movies nowadays, like you're like, oh, the body is like the ending was kind of weird, but nowadays, like, you have to do weird shit.
Yeah.
To
have just a predictable ending.
This movie, I don't want to say the movie... Well, it probably was original for back then. But at the same time, it's like... There aren't a lot of movies that do what it did story-wise. And it's like... Even now, I'm kind of like... I don't know exactly how to take the ending. Because it's like... You know, but they did a good job.
Is this the one with the skeleton?
What?
The skeleton? No.
No, I don't think so. Okay. You have to describe skeleton a little better.
It comes at the audience?
No. That was, I thought that was Haunting
of
Hill House, the Vincent Price one.
Maybe.
I know. The next movie I watched with you, and that was more of your movie, but I loved it more than you, I think.
Yeah, I think you did too. So there's this
Magic Mike.
I did not watch that movie with you. You're thinking of someone else. So there's this graphic novel or comic book called I Kill Giants. I remember it coming out and stuff, but I wasn't a huge fan of the art. So I never got it or read it. But then this movie came out. And I was like, oh, wow, that's weird that they made this into a movie.
Yeah.
And it's the same producers as Harry Potter and stuff, which makes sense because it's got the mystical kind of feel to it.
Elements, yeah.
But anyway.
Also, there's a British girl in it, so.
Yeah. That's probably, if it's the same producers, they probably filmed it in England just like they did. But anyway, it's this girl who is in a world of make-believe, question mark, where she is protecting this town on the shores of London, not London, England probably, or Scotland.
No, because everyone is English, but it's not, like everyone is like American.
But anyway, but it's like a port city, and she's putting up all these little traps and little spells and shit. Around this little town, because she's protecting the town.
Bait traps and stuff.
Right, she's trying to protect the town from giants. And there's giants, and then there's even worse giants called titans. And it's her job to protect everybody from these giants. And as you're watching, she like befriends somebody in school, and
like a transfer student.
Yeah. So she kind of becomes friends with this person, and then you start finding out more about the girl's past. And the entire time you're watching the movie, you're like, are the giants real or not? Which I kind of like that when it's on the line like that.
Yeah. But also,
especially then when it reveals it, you're like, oh, shit.
And then also, like, the thing I liked about, like, from the beginning, you just had this overwhelming sense of dread, like
something bad,
something like you can just tell something isn't right.
Right, the way it was shot made you feel uneasy the whole time.
Yeah,
and I think it has to do with the fact that she's setting up all this stuff, and you're like, she's setting this up, and if I know movies, there's gonna be a payoff.
Yeah, and also like
the way it's so dark, like I want to say dark, but like very blue tones and like lower tones.
Yeah.
Give you the sense of like uneasiness.
Like a cold feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like you knew something was going to happen, something not great, or you're going to learn something that's not great.
Also, the main thing is too, like the two of the characters in the movie that were amazing was her sister, who's like a couple years.
Charge.
Yeah. She's like taking care of like her and her brothers and stuff like that. And she's. Looks like she's fresh out of college, and she's like just losing her shit left and right. She can't handle taking care of
the family,
and some of that. And then also, Zoe Saldana, one of the main bigger names of the movie. She's like the school psychiatrist,
guidance counselor.
Yeah, but then the main character, she just keeps getting into trouble because she's kind of a loner.
Mm-hmm.
So the bullies like pick on her, like, oh, what you doing looking for giants again? And like they fuck with her, and then she's like, I'm not taking your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, oh,
stands up for herself and then gets in trouble for it.
That's
pretty much all I have. I don't want to give too much into it.
I
gave it a 7.5.
The things about it, obviously, like for a name that it wasn't a big like.
It came out on DVD, and I was like, I didn't know this movie came out.
It came out limited release in like May, and then the next month in June it was released on DVD. So like they weren't planning on spreading it everywhere,
right? And then even after that, it was hard to find.
Yeah, but
so it's like it was even in DVD, it felt like it was a limited release.
Yeah, but then the special effects, I mean, for a low budget movie, I'm sure I'm sure the budget wasn't as huge as other movies, but like the Titans and the giants and stuff that like cool. they look cool enough,
right?
But obviously, like for
I mean, it definitely seems like a Harry Potter type villain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can tell it's the same people that did Harry Potter.
But no, yeah, that I'm not gonna lie, I teared up while watching this movie, like numerous parts throughout the whole thing, and it just like. It made this movie made my soul hurt, but also made my soul happy at the same time.
Yeah,
it was. I don't know. I dug it a lot. I gave it, I think, an 8.5.
Oh wow! Yeah, I gave it a 7.5. So yeah, you did like it more.
Yeah, yeah. The next movie I watched, I think it's a Netflix movie. If not, that's where I kept seeing ads for it. It was on Netflix called The Ritual.
Yeah, it is a Netflix original.
Okay,
you did watch that one, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I liked it.
I kept thinking about watching
it. The next movie I watched...
It reminded me of, like, Blair Witch.
Yeah, it sure did. It reminded me of Blair Witch, and then slowly turned into The Village, and then slowly turned into something else entirely. But the movie, it takes place with a bunch of friends, like, are out drinking, and just, like, hanging out and stuff. Like, hey, we should go do these... Like, we should go on a trip and go do this. Like, oh... Fuck you, I'm not going to go on a trip. Like,
actually, now I'm looking it up, Netflix might have just bought the rights to play it in America.
Okay.
Since it's a UK film.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, everything's like, it takes place...
It's in Romania, where it was filmed.
But yeah, a bunch of the...
Yes, like, it's Entertainment One is the one that created it.
Okay. But like, a bunch of the actors, like, the way they acted towards each other, it actually felt like real friends who, like, give each other shit. It wasn't like, hey, what's up, you dumb dart tar tuck to fuck face?
Especially if they say it like that.
Yeah. But, like, no, like, they actually seem like people that were hung out forever and stuff. But then they're talking about going on this one trip and stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know, we want to do that trip or whatever. And then, like, two of the guys go into the liquor store to get some... alcohol, and they're unaware that it's being robbed, and shit goes down. So a year later, like, to remember their friend, they're like, we're gonna take this trip that he said we should go on. So they go, like, backpacking through this, like, countryside and stuff, and then one of the guys ends up, like, getting hurt. Like, oh shit, well, if we cut through the forest there, we'll get to the town faster. And we'll do that. Well, as they're heading through the forest, they see things that are, like, messed up. Like, here's a dead deer hanging from a tree. And here's, like all these weird symbols. And then they run into this cabin when it's, like, raining and stuff. Like, let's stay in this cabin. And there's this really fucking weird, like, scarecrow shrine thing in the attic and stuff. And, like, what the fuck is this? Like, really, a lot of creepy things are happening. And then as the tensions kind of grow with them, like, not knowing what's going on and not being able to get out of the forest because they're getting lost and stuff, a lot of the tensions, like, start growing because, like, the guy that got killed, his friend that went with him, he's like, you should, like, this is all your fault that we're here because you should have done this. Like, I should have done what? What are you trying, what do you blame me for? It felt like such real emotions. Like, it was so good. And then, the next act came out, and it was like, it turned to a whole different movie, but I liked it. I don't want to say too much about that part of it, right, but
because if it turns, that's...
Yeah, it, it's a really cool movie. I don't know if I'd watch it again, but I probably would watch it again, because, like, the entire time you're, like, watching, like, why is it called The Ritual? And then you get to, like, a certain part and you go, oh, okay, I can see this now. All right, this is what's happening. All right. Yeah, cool. But also, one of the guys from Hot Fuzz is in it, and he's awesome.
Yeah, so I was just looking at...
He's also in Jurassic World Fallen House.
Right. Jurassic House.
Yeah, Jurassic House. But I gave that, I think, a 7. So, I don't know, I enjoyed it.
Nice.
The next movie I watched was also on my list. It's a cool movie called Black Sunday.
Black Sunday.
Yeah, just like the U2 song. This is sort of an older horror movie, black and white again. What?
It looks like she's got the holes in her face.
Yeah. But it starts off, like, years ago, during like the Salem witchcraft trials and stuff, and they're like, "Hey, we think you're a witch. I'm gonna kill you." "No, I'm not a witch. Kill, kill, kill. Dead." "Hey, you're a witch. I'm gonna kill you." "No, I'm not a witch. Kill, kill, kill." "Hey, you're a witch. I'm not a witch. Kill, kill, kill." "Well, you guys, fuck you. I'm putting a curse on you. I am a witch. Go fuck yourselves." And like, "Oh, thank God we got her." Until someone stumbled upon her like where she was buried, and like, "Hey, this is neat. What's this information?" And then they reawaken her. Yeah. And she kind of like takes vengeance on all these people and stuff. Yeah, like the first part of the movie was like, it was like, "Oh, this is cool," because you never really see like all the shit that happens during the witchcraft trials and stuff. And even though it wasn't a huge chunk of it. But then it kind of turned into like, "Hey, it's like this creature got awakened, or this person got awakened from this, and they're just wrecking havoc now and stuff." And it kind of just felt like a vampire movie after that. So like, but the first half was cool.
Keywords, plot keywords. Vampire is one of them.
Yeah. But yeah, after all, it just kind of felt like Dracula or whatever, where they're like, "Huh, I'm trying to hunt her down and stuff." But it was kind of neat because it had some pretty cool practical effects and some of that. And actually, it had some pretty, I want to say, genius moments, but there's like some plot points that like they got from point A to point B by doing this. And I went, "Huh, I like that. I like that aspect of how they like figured that out. Like the characters in the movie figured that out because of this happening." And I'm like, it just felt like, I don't know. Like, it felt like a fate type thing, but in a way that... I'm thinking of just one specific scene where they find a hidden door because they knocked over a torch and it burnt down a curtain. And it's like, I'm like, I don't know, just that cause and effect felt creative to me. But, I don't know, I can't remember much about this movie. I'm not going to lie, I was a little bored here and there while watching it. But I remember Eric, my friend, was like, "You need to watch it. It's awesome. It's so awesome." I'm like, "Okay." And I was like, I wasn't blown away by it. I know if Tony's listening, he's probably like, "Actually, it's a really good movie."
Like the one I've made fun of.
Me, I'm Tony Mayer. This is my impression because I haven't talked to him in forever.
Like the one I was making fun of that he's like, "That's one of the best movies, Gothic. That's one of the best movies ever." I'm like, "You can have it."
Yeah, so I gave Black Sunday a 6. I have this many left.
So I did watch one of my 3D movies this month.
Yeah.
And yeah. It is a sequel to a sequel.
Uh-oh.
I watched one of the Underworld movies.
Oh, that's usually a sequel to a sequel. I'm like,
what the fuck
does that mean?
So this one was called Underworld Awakening. I could not tell you what number this is.
4.
So there's 5 total?
I have no idea. I'm guessing. Am I right?
Maybe.
Am I right?
It's probably like 4 or 5. Either way, I thought this was the most recent one. It wasn't. They came up with another one after this. This might be 4. Because I think 3 doesn't have Kate Beckinsale in it. Because it was a prequel.
All right.
But anyway.
There's a lot of movies called Underworld.
Underworld Awakening is this one. I watched this in 3D. So, after the events of the second movie...
This is the 4th one.
Yeah.
There's Underworld.
Yeah. Because the 3rd one doesn't have Kate Beckinsale. It was a prequel.
Underworld Evolution. Bloodlines.
Or Blood Wars or something.
Hold on. Underworld Evolution.
Which is the second one.
Then the 3rd one is Underworld Rise of the Lycans.
Oh.
And then Underworld Awakening, and then the most recent one from 2016 is Underworld Blood Wars.
Blood Wars. Okay. So, if you haven't seen the Underworld franchise, this is probably one of the weaker ones. I don't remember the 3rd one, or if I saw the 3rd one. I definitely did not see the newest one. But the premise of Underworld is... I almost said Vikings. Vampires and werewolves... exist, but yeah. They're hidden from the world and they're enemies. So vampires hate werewolves, werewolves hate vampires. They have their giant
called lichens, Jason?
Yeah, lichens. So the vampires live in this mansion with their clan, and the werewolves live underground with their clan. And the first movie, Kate Beckinsale, is a vampire, and she falls in love with a guy who ends up getting turned into a werewolf. So, but she loves him, blah, blah, blah. And then she bites him, and he turns into a part werewolf. So he's half werewolf, half vampire, which shouldn't exist, but it does in this case. So he becomes a super crazy monster. And that's the first movie.
Yeah.
Could not tell you what happens in the second movie. But anyway, this movie, Awakening, Underworld Awakening, shows the end of this big, huge fight.
Apparently the second one is just like them going, hey, we need to find clues to reveal the history of our races and the war between them.
Yeah, probably. If I remember the second one, it was very much a battle.
That's right. So, I do sort of remember the second one where they're like, oh, I want to be a lichen now. The main vampire's like, I want to be a lichen hybrid.
So at the end of this, there's a giant war and there's a big fight. So Underworld Awakening starts with the big fighting and stuff like that. And humans, obviously, because of this war, know that vampires and lichens exist.
Yeah.
And they try to kill them all. And they basically... I'm going to do this in quotes, which I got to say quotes because you can't see that on audio.
I can see it.
They eliminate all the vampires and lichens. So, like, we are free from them again. And then Kate Beckinsale wakes up and she's in this lab. They're doing tests and shit on her.
Yeah.
And she escapes and she's like, they're like, oh yeah, we got this half breed here that's half we're a lichen and half vampire. And she's like, oh my God, my husband's here. And, but she escapes and then she wants to break in to save him. But then she, spoiler alert, she breaks in, finds the half-breed. It's not him. It's this little girl.
I was reading this plot, and it sounds like the fucking Resident Evil movie plot.
It feels like a Resident Evil movie. The premise is that she escapes and then has to break into the place to save her husband. And then it turns out to be a girl. And then they have to break in again to save her real husband. And... it wasn't great.
Like, no, this movie is from, like, late 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, 2009. Or no, 2012. No. 2012.
This isn't 2012, is it?
Yeah.
Underworld.
Yeah, I'm looking at IMDb right now.
It is 2012. Holy shit. But, it felt like it was...
yeah, it feels like 2003.
Well, 2003 is when the first movie came out.
Oh, well. But this description makes me feel like just reading it... after 12 years, vampire Celine wakes up in a laboratory tank.
Yep.
She manages to escape her human imprisonment. On re-entering the world, she finds that humans are aware of both vampire and lichen species and are fighting to annihilate them. The lichens are almost extinct, but they are creating more powerful super lichens. They're creating more powerful super lichens.
Right. That's why they have this test. They have the lichen vampire breed so they can... and then you find out... there's a reveal that all the scientists and shit are lichens, and they're trying to eat so they can become stronger.
Celine must stop Biocom
mm-hmm.
from creating the new lichen breed with the help of Detective Sebastian. Who's Detective Sebastian?
He's a new character in this
show. She also discovers that she has a 12-year-old vampire lichen hybrid daughter. Yep. That was her daughter, Jason.
Apparently.
12 years old. She was in the lab for 12 years. So she had a baby and then went to sleep for 12 years while the kid grew up.
Apparently.
Cats in the cradle.
In the manor nine.
Or a lichens in the tank. I don't know. I'm Detective Sebastian.
I was trying to think. He looks familiar. And I was trying to see what he's from. And I did not see any of these things.
He was on Too Fast, Too Furious, Jason.
He was on the show The Following is Theo. So that's probably what I know him from.
Oh, yep. That's
and
it.
And the other guy.
I kind of want to say, I feel like he was on Flash Forward as well.
I don't see that on there.
Yep, right there. Boom, roasted.
Good. Good call. Good call.
He has...
I gave it a 5.
I mean, he has the bluest eyes ever.
For made. A black guy?
Yeah. Like, he has
I don't piercing know. Eyes. Apparently, you haven't seen Randall Cobb.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Packer player.
Oh, okay.
He's got piercing blue eyes.
Well, I'll take... guess I'll look it up later.
So, I gave it a 5. It... Out of all the Underworld movies I saw, it was one of them.
Yep. Speaking of piercing eyes, let me tell you a story. No, let me tell you about a story that a movie story. Okay. Well, the next movie I watched. Maybe. You trying to zoom in
yeah.
on Randall Cobb's eyes?
Is it's the a same? Touch screen. It doesn't look blue. Right. Cammy said they were blue.
Cammy, you liar. Anyways.
It's a touch screen. You should be able to zoom like a...
You have to tap the image first. Now you can zoom in. There you go. That's a good one. His tongue sticking out. Anyways, speaking of eyes, the next movie I watched was a movie called Peeping Tom.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Hills Have Eyes.
No.
You already saw that.
Yeah, I did. Not the original, though. So, this is one of those movies that, like, I've seen a lot of people put it on their, like, horror movie you have to watch. And then the person I borrowed it from...
Peeping Tom?
Yeah. Then I borrowed from Eric, and he's like, it's all right.
You watched a lot of movies from, like, the 60s.
Yeah, 60s and 70s have some... That's another thing, too.
70s have some of the best movies
yeah, ever. Yeah, that's why I specifically picked movies from the 60s and 70s on that list, so I could watch them, because there's a lot of great
ones. I was, like,
ones.
Trying to, like, the year that had... A decade that had the best movies, I think it was the 70s.
There's a lot of great movies in the 70s. Jaws is in it, so that's a lot that matters.
Right. Well, I was, like... Because I was going through... The year I was going through that box set of all the Warner Brothers stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff from the 70s is the best stuff. But anyway, continue with your Peeping Tom, who's a pervert.
Yeah, he's a pervert.
A young man murders women.
Yep, he sure does.
Using a movie camera to film it.
That's pretty much the movie. I mean...
I didn't read the whole thing even. I feel like the rest of it is kind of a spoiler.
Oh, I should read it out loud. Not loud, but, like, just look it up to see how much of a spoiler.
Movie camera to film their dying expressions of terror.
Yeah. So it's a guy who's kind of a loner. He lives by himself in an apartment. He rents it and some of that. But he, for his day job, he helps work at a film studio, like, shooting films and stuff like that. And, but then he also, like, takes pictures on the side of, like, women, like, modeling and stuff like that, and he sells them to, like, newspaper stands and stuff like that, because there's always, like, people coming, like, oh, let me see the portfolio, and he's looking through, like, oh, I want to buy these naughty pictures and stuff. But then he ends up meeting this woman that lives in the same apartment building as him, and she sort of likes him, and he kind of likes her a little bit, but he has a really... Like, she starts watching a video of, like, him as a child, and his dad did some weird shit with him, with cameras and stuff. And, like, oh, yeah, he's fucked for a reason. He's broken inside. But, yeah, he would go around, and then he would kill women because he wanted to capture what fear actually looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because he's, like, the main character, but he's also the villain. So, like, when the cops are, like, ascending on him and stuff like that, like, oh, they're trying to find him here and there. They're asking him questions and stuff. You go, you kind of want him to get caught, but you kind of do because you want justice. But also, like, it's the guy you're following from the start. I don't know.
I'm reading some of the taglines of the movie. Don't dare tell the ending to anyone. You'll be blamed for nightmares.
Is that a tagline?
Yeah.
I mean...
I feel like this movie doesn't have a surprising ending.
Not really.
And if it did, you'll have nightmares if you tell people?
Yeah. I mean, it's... I guess I could tell you the ending later, but it's not really much of an ending, but, like, they realize...
He gets caught or he doesn't.
They realize... Because the thing is, he has a camera, but then he puts it on a tripod.
Oh, okay.
And that... Yep, that's... Oh, okay, I understand everything now.
Yep,
no, but then he... What he would do is... one of the legs of the tripod, he would, like, pull the bottom part off, and it'd be, like, a knife. Oh, so Jesus. Then he coming at someone with this big, giant, sharp thing and recording them. But then also at the same time, he had this, like, the, like, kind of like a, where the flash is.
Oh, okay.
It's like a big silver, like, bowl. So they would see the women getting stabbed would see their own reflection. Mm. And that would creep them out even more because, like, they see themselves dying. And that should add more fear to it.
Wow, that's creepy.
Yeah. But also it was delivered in a 1970s type style, like, yeah, they did this for this. All right, see you later. You know, like kind of like Psycho where they go, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this movie, like, oh, it's such a creepy movie at the very end. Like, yeah, this happened and this happened.
That's what you said.
But that's actually, he was trying to teach her how to be more fearful. I think that's the same character. I think it is. Oh no, that's the neighbor that he likes.
I don't know. I just see the knife and then the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of creepy. He kind of reminded me of like a small, creepy Kiefer Sutherland a little bit. But, I don't know. It wasn't bad. It was like one of the Criterion movies, so it kind of had a little bit of, like, hey, check this out. This is an important movie. Mm-hmm. But I gave it a 6, because it was fine. There's nothing to write home about, but also at the same time, I'm not mad for seeing it. But I wouldn't recommend. If someone's like, should I watch this? I'm like, if you think it's like if you read the description and go, this could be good, go for it, I guess. I don't know.
Sounds interesting. I might check it out now.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what I'll say.
All right. But I gave it a 6. All right. So that's my movies for the month. The movies I watched that were from my list were The Eyes of My Mother with 7.5, May 6, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari 7. Black Sunday, 6. Peepy Tom, 6.
I only watched one 3D movie, and it was Underworld Awakening with a 5. Then that was the worst movie of the month. And the best movie of the month was a tie between I Kill Giants and Cult of Chucky with 7.5.
I find it funny that the movies on my list, I'm like, these are all here. But the worst and the best movies weren't on my list, because the worst one was The Nun with a 5, and the best was I Kill Giants with 8.5. So yeah, if you email us at stuffbyscott@gmail.com.
Yeah, email us and tell us a suggestion for 2019 what we should do.
I think it's gonna be like June by the time we get this.
Then episode. 2020.
Yeah. Ooh, 2020. 2020 vision for movies. You need it.
All movies are visions.
Yeah. Unless they have blind movies. Which are just called audiobooks.
But movies!
Yeah.
Or if you have any suggestions.
Yeah, or if you
tell us we're wrong.
Yeah, tell us we're wrong, tell us we're right. Tell us, thank us for turning you on to certain movies or getting angry at us for hating movies that you loved.
I think people agree with me that the Underworld.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Great. I'm sure the people that watch it, like, don't, like, that watch
those movies. The guy I worked with, it was funny, he was talking about, like, he didn't know I just watched it.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you ever start watching, like, a movie series and feel like you're obligated to finish the series? I did that with Underworld. But he's like, I didn't watch the newest one yet, but I watched Awakening. I'm like, Jesus, I just watched that. That's so weird when things like that happen.
That's kind of how I felt about, like, Saw. I'm like, after I got halfway through, I'm like, I just got to finish these up.
That's what it was about Twilight.
Yeah.
No. Well, kind of. I saw all but one, and then I was like, I might as well watch the last one.
You watched them for a reason, though.
Yeah.
Girlfriend that liked them.
Right. Well, the first one I watched just to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because it was such a huge thing. And then when I saw the next one, I was like, I got to watch the ones in between, because I can't just jump from the first to the third or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so then we saw part one in the theater. So I had to watch everything before that.
Ugh.
Yeah, they weren't great, but they weren't like... I can't even finish that sentence. They just weren't great.
They weren't Underworld. I don't know.
Well, Underworld...
They're all vampires. It
has moments, like... The thing about Underworld is that there's not much to them.
Yeah.
Like, the action is cool, and that's about it. And like, the action isn't even that great. This is like, hey, you like the action in The Matrix? This is a dumbed-down version of that.
You like The Matrix? Well, we did, too.
Yeah. Because the first one, she does the thing where she shoots through the floor.
Yeah, that's right.
Where she's spinning and shooting downward and then drops. She does something in this one, too, I think, with an elevator.
She should just do that every single movie. Right. Like,
but, okay, so the funny thing is, So Kate Beckinsale, what has she done? She was huge for a while.
Yeah, and then it's like 98.
And then it's like, oh yeah, she did Underworld. Oh, awesome. She's not doing them anymore. Okay. Oh, she's back again.
Well, the one she didn't do was because it was a prequel.
Well, that's because they wanted to do a third movie, I don't think she wanted
to. The old dude from, like, Shaun of the Dead and stuff like that, mm-hmm. who was, like, the main vampire dude, he was in that one, too.
Yeah, because
I think he died in the second one.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
But no, he died.
Like, honestly,
matter after a certain point.
They should do the action movie.
Because, like, the last movie I remember was White Out, and that was not good.
No, but, like, here's the thing, though. Have a movie like Underworld where she'll shoot around in circles and then fall through the floor, but have her do that fucking like three times in the movie, and then like
it would
be
amazing.
And then it was like, how's she gonna top that? Oh, she did it again and again and again, and every movie she does it like three times, like the same thing. Like the villains have to eventually expect this, but they don't. And every time she's like, how can I get out of this? God damn it, she got away from us. Like over the span of the movie, she like do it 20 times.
Yes, okay, she's shooting through the floor. It's not a fast thing to do.
No.
Like, how did they not get to her by the time she's through? And if she does, oh, she falls through. Now you're at the hole. It doesn't take that much to jump down and get there. Like, I feel like you would still catch her really fast.
I just think that'd be funny because every time like they have a special move, how are you gonna top that? Oh, now they're doing that while jumping or this. It's like just do the same.
So it's thing. Like the fence skit in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, but it's like he kept just doing running the same into thing. Yeah, he just kept running into it or whatever.
Well, that's the podcast for October.
They write stuff by scott@gmail.com. Other than that,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.